are here at the 2017 Synergent Technology Workshop in beautiful Portland, Maine, a crisp fall day with Mr. Mark Sievright. How are you, Mark?
Good morning, Mike. It's a beautiful day here.
I couldn't believe it. Yeah,
just a great temperature and not very New England-like at this time of year. But it's great to see you again.
Good to see you as well. Always fun to see you, and you always have loads of great information for folks out there. And today you're going to be talking about global trends influencing the future of financial services. You're going to be keynoting here today. So
45 minutes, Mike, I have to cover that topic.
Huh? All right.
Good luck.
So give us a quick overview.
I'm thrilled. So I believe there are four trends that are really driving our business right now, Mike. Mm-hmm. I think the first one is that the business model itself is changing. You know, not only are there fewer credit unions, we all know that story,
yeah.
And we just had a record month for this year at least, by the way, in terms of mergers, but the way in which consumers are accessing financial services, small businesses too, the needs and expectations they have are forcing us to be really different, changing our delivery models.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think we're seeing kind of the second trend, Mike, a good segue to it, a lot of new players coming into the marketplace. So one of the themes I'm talking about this morning is the fintech community. You know, and you know that the fintech startups are at record levels. And companies that we know as household names like Square and PayPal and SoFi and so on, many of them are now applying for banking charters. In fact, just in the last few months, we've had both Social Finance or SoFi and Square both apply for bank charters. I remember, by the way, quick segue, 10 years ago, remember Walmart applied for there? And there was absolute uproar. Uproar, wasn't there? Every lobby group, National Association.
Like, what?
What? What are you doing? And Walmart, in the end, had to sort of pull back. I don't think anyone blinked an eyelid when we've just seen the latest applications.
Do you think they're prepared for that, though? I mean, with so far...
I think we kind of missed it. Honestly, I think there's so much going on, Mike, and almost an expectation that these fintechs will become financial players.
Yeah.
That everyone just missed it or just plowing on.
Kind of went under the radar, maybe.
Under the radar, maybe.
Wow.
The third trend, then, is really about demographic change. So we're seeing a lot now about millennials, of course. But I'm actually quite fascinated by cycles in the older generations who are becoming much more technology-friendly and adoptive. And I think technology has really become age-agnostic.
I'm total agreement with you there. Total agreement. Yeah.
I mean, it was, what, 7 years ago we had the iPad for the first time. And I think tablet computing, Mike, has really changed the landscape of how more mature people interact. And then the final one, which I suppose is another segue, is technology. So I tell you, technology is changing so fast. We're developing so much more competency and capability that literally, if I said yesterday at another meeting, if you feel like you're up to speed with what's going on, you're completely out of touch because there's so much going on. But I find that some of the trends in payments now, you know, we've got cardless ATM transactions. Mm-hmm. We've got people paying in certain parts of the world with the palm of their hand. You know, we're actually, it seems, moving to a world where plastic cards might not be the way we pay 15 years from now. And then, of course, the whole channel mix is changing so much with more capability around mobile, biometric technologies, the Apple X, you know, if you want to upset
X or
Apple,
10.
Call it Apple X and all the brand people come running at you. But I just think it's an incredibly exciting environment. And credit unions are extremely well-placed, I think, to take advantage.
Yeah, that was my next question. It's like, what does all this mean for credit unions? Because we're kind of a conservative lot, you know? I mean, but once one dives in and the rest see, wow, that works, it's proven, the rest dive in as well. So it's a really kind of a cool thing to see. So what does it mean with this rapid change? I mean, there are a few credit unions out there that are really pushing that proverbial technology envelope.
They really are.
And so it's really neat to see. And I think there's more and more having that mindset, but there's so many more. They're like, you don't want to really sit on the sidelines too long and wait because you'll get passed by. You don't want to be a Blockbuster or a Tower Records or anything like that.
Kodak. Yeah, that's right. No,
Betamax.
Betamax.
Yeah.
You know, you're so right on point. What people realize, I think, generally in the movement is we have this great affinity with members, and their affinity towards credit unions is very unique. You know, the bankers, with all due respect, don't have that same affinity. And many of the credit unions, and there's only 5,800 now, Mike, but many of the credit unions have tremendous local community presence.
Yes.
You know, whether it's outreach or branch presence or both. But what I think the big challenge for us, Mike, is to try to move from being a traditional business to being a digital one. And if we look at other sectors, you know, I'm fascinated by what's going on with Walmart and Amazon, right? You know, Walmart is trying to become more like Amazon, and Amazon, it seems, is trying to become more like Walmart. You know, and they're crossing this bridge and they're going to meet in the middle. And I think credit unions really have the similar challenge to a Walmart. They're trying to move from being a traditional model to one where we've got to be highly digital, back to front, not just to the members, but in our own operations too. But again, I think credit unions have such an advantage, Mike, because of the philosophy. And to your point about kind of keeping up, I know you didn't say that, but kind of keeping up with technology.
I think we all are.
Hinted at it.
Yeah.
The fintechs now are creating models where collaboration with fintechs and credit unions is available. There are CUSOs now, as you know, that have been set up to establish fintech. I was really impressed by what Bob Trunzo did at CUNA Mutual in establishing a fund. Jim Reagan at DCU here in New England. You know, Jim has a very big credit union, of course, but a collaboration with fintech. And Chuck Purvis and Constellation and what Chris Kovacs, my good friend, is now trying to do down in
good
the Carolinas.
Stuff over there, right?
Good stuff over there. And then, you know, if we create those models where we can collaborate in an affordable way, you know, Mike, credit unions have a real chance to keep up and stay relevant.
I agree. Yeah. What takeaways, getting back to your keynote, what takeaways do you want people to leave here with from your talk today?
Well, really, that the game is not over for credit unions because of all this change. I think it's very easy for credit unions to think, oh my goodness, we can't possibly compete. We can't possibly keep up. Well, the message is you can. The other message, Mike, is that there are new technologies coming down the pipe that we haven't had to deal with before that we're going to have to deal with. A great example is artificial intelligence. I have a lot of artificial intelligence, by the way.
Do you?
But I'm not talking about that.
Well, you're using it well.
Thank you. It's very artificial. But, you know, we're going to have to deal with machines helping us serve our members and having marketing campaigns developed for us by really smart computing. Now, not many of us actually have direct experience of how to do that. Blockchain.
That's
no interview is complete, Mike, without mentioning blockchain.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome. But, you know, look, most people actually don't really understand what blockchain is.
Still.
But we know that whatever it is, it's going to be quite revolutionary in the long term. And then I think we have to look at data analytics, because we're now in a situation where we can do so much more with data than we could 10 years ago when we really started talking about CRM, remember those days?
Oh, yeah.
But now we can actually execute on a lot of the, you know, the Synergent folks here today have a wonderful story with Merrimack Credit Union in Massachusetts where they did something very simple, Mike, with data. It cost $8,000. It cost the credit union $8,000. And they generated more than 600 new auto loans and $8 million worth of loans in 3 months. Well, you know, and if you talk to the folks at Synergent, they'll tell you that was a very simple data analytics collaboration. Well, we're going to see a lot more of that.
That's a nice little ROI there.
It really is.
Wow.
So those are the kind of takeaways that I hope people get today.
Okay. Last question here for you, and I'll get you off the hot seat. How do you see the rest of 2017 shaping up and then going into 2018, technology-wise, because we talked about the rapid change and the disruptors coming in, but we're all kind of... There seems to be a trend right now, I'm getting a little off topic here, that financial institutions are working with the disruptors now and kind of embracing them instead of like fighting them.
Very much.
Seems to be a...
I remember, Mike, one of the catalysts was 2 or 3 years ago when Jamie Dimon, you know, the head of J.P. Morgan Chase, wrote to his shareholders and he said, Silicon Valley is coming. You know, and he's a $2 trillion institution worried about fintechs. And Jamie Dimon's point was, look, these folks are in our business, and we can choose to collaborate with them or try to replicate or compete with what they do. And he chose a collaboration route. So many have.
Smart move.
Numerous financial institutions now, Mike, have chosen to have partnerships with fintechs. Credit unions need to do the same thing. And I think, to your point on 2017, I think it's going to be a very good year financially for credit unions. We're in our 67th or 68th quarter now of economic recovery.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. And the last, I think I saw some stats somewhere, the last 14 quarters have just been, it's like unprecedented.
Unprecedented. So. And even though we have fewer credit unions, we obviously do, I think we're becoming more performant as a movement, mm-hmm. if that word makes sense, right? I mean, we're just doing a better job.
Right.
And I think the other thing is interest rates are somewhat unpredictable, but the school of thought is we're going to see an increase before the end of the year. The mm-hmm. UK, my homeland, originally, as you know, announced today they will be increasing interest rates probably in November. So I think around the world we're going to start to see interest rates continue to trend up,
mm-hmm.
and that creates, you know, opportunities for credit unions as well as, of course, some risks. But but clearly, I think we're in a pretty buoyant place right now.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Good to see you.
Great to see
Thank you,
Mike.
Sir. Always
Thanks.
A pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Go up there and break a leg, all right?
Try
Have some
both.
Fun. Yeah, both. All right. Thanks. Mark Sieve, right, everybody.